Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to expound verses 1 through 9, and I've entitled this evening's message, The Last Day Scoffers. Let me get your attention right here on the screen, right up here. The Last Day Scoffers. Oh, that's right. You see, let me just pause for a moment before we get into tonight's study, my friends. I just wanted to say this. In the days and time that we live in, right now, people are saying, yeah, right, Jesus is coming. I'm here to let you know that over 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, during the days of Noah and Lot, when the world back then in the ancient of old, it was no different than ours. The only thing that was different is that we had today modern technology. I'm coming to you through this marvelous technology that God has given us just these past 100 years. Prior to these 100 years, we were still what? Riding on stagecoaches and horses and buggies. That's right. But God said in the last days that knowledge would increase. And so knowledge has increased, just like the book of Daniel has said. But during the days of Noah, it was wicked, it was violent, it was evil. And God said that he repented in his heart that he created man. And so he went on to further say that because of his grace and his mercy, he was going to have Noah build an ark, and anyone can jump on the ark to save their lives. But during that time, they mocked Noah. There were scoffers left and right. Yeah, right, it never rained before. And you said water's going to come from the sky. See, they never experienced rain. God had everything beautiful back then. And so Noah was obedient. He built the ark. And the day came when God said, all right, if they don't want to get in the ark, go get all the animals. So God had already selected a pair of animals of every species, and they came into the ark, and Noah and the rest of his family, there was a total of 8, went into the ark, and God closed the door, and then the rain began. The Bible says waters came from the bottom of the ground upward, and the rain from the heavens, from the clouds came downward, and it flooded the earth. My friends, it's no different. Thousands of years later, Jesus said that in the last days, right before he comes, we would be in a type of tribulation. And right now, my friends, we are in perilous times. We are barely getting over a pandemic that Jesus said in the last days there would be pestilence. There are earthquakes all over the place right now. Thousands of earthquakes around the world. Oh, yes, there are. He said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. That's right. Russia, China, and Iran are mounting together. They see a very weak president right now in our nation. And if there was ever a time to attack, it would probably be now. And so, my friends, we need to pray. This is the time to get right before the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the time to walk in His ways. This is a time for those of you that are born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit. We are the ones, we are the called out ones. We are the ones to let people know that God is coming back, that God is coming for His church. Prepare your heart. Prepare your, the way, for the King of Glory is about to appear. He's going to come and appear in the clouds. The shofar blast will be blasted. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up. This evening's message basically is letting us know that even in the time that we live in, there will be last day scoffers. There's scoffers in the church. There's scoffers outside of the church. Oh, yes, it doesn't matter. Why? Because the ones that are in the church don't want their parade to be rained upon. Many of these big, huge mega churches, they will not tell you that Jesus is coming. They will not tell you to repent. They won't tell you to get right before God. They won't tell you that Jesus is on His way and He's looking for those who are looking for His appearing. No, why? Because their wealth will come to an end. Their homes they have accumulated and the cars that they drive, all these things, as they fleece the flock of God, as they take the tithes and offerings from little widows that are probably on their Social Security. Oh yes, my friends, I'm here to let you know that we are living in the last days and there are scoffers this day. And so we're going to look into this expository teaching, and I'm asking God to give us ears to hear and eyes to see, because we are living in the days that Jesus said would take place. So let's go there now, my friends. Let's go there. And the Bible says right here, let's go back to the Word of God, and we're going to go to 2 Peter. You got your Bibles? Are you ready to go? Let's go. And the Bible reads in 2 Peter 3, 1 through 9, it says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by the way of reminder." God is reminding us tonight, saints of God, "that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Praise God, praise God. Look at this in verse 3. "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water.'" Now let's look at this. "By which the world that then existed perish, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire," "until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved," say that with me at home, saints of God, "but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." And verse 9, this is the last verse we will be expounding on in this Bible study tonight. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count" what? "Slackness, but is long-suffering," praise God. In other words, He's patient toward us, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed, saints of God, that God is mindful for us, that thousands and thousands of years after the flood, He already knew that the conditions would grow even worse from the days of Noah, and we are there now. But my friends, the good news is this. This is why the Bible is called the good news. Jesus came to this earth, hallelujah, to save sinners like you and I. He came to shed His blood. He came to die on a cross. He came to say, "It is finished." You see, the mind of God, God's mind, hallelujah, already saw thousands of years into the future. And He said, mankind will need a Savior. They cannot save themselves. And God has a number. God knows who will be saved. God knows who are those who's going to reject Him. But you and I, saints of God, you need to rejoice, hallelujah, that when God quickened us, we came alive. Hallelujah. We looked unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We saw that we were wretched. We saw that we needed a Savior. We saw that God, only God can save a wretch like me. This is why that song, Amazing Grace, was written. Why? Because that slave driver, the one who would carry slaves to and fro on his boat, came to a place of repentance, and he found out that he was so wretched. He found out that he was so entrenched in his sin, and he didn't realize what he was doing. Well, this is what God will do for you and I. He will quicken us. He will cause things in our life, hallelujah, to come to a screeching halt. He will give us ears to hear and eyes to see. He will allow us to see, hallelujah, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will let us see now the work on the cross, and we will, hallelujah, he will give us a heart and a mind to be saved, and a heart of repentance. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Let's just take time out and praise God, hallelujah, for his wonderful salvation. Thank you, God. So now, my friends, let's go now to verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in which both I stir up in your pure minds by the way of what? Reminder. Praise God. Praise God. God, thank you, Jesus. You see, my friends, Peter's purpose was to remind the believers that their lives ought to be characterized by wholesome thinking, meaning sincerity or purity of understanding. That's right. Plato, even the old philosopher, he had used this phrase to refer to pure reason, uncontaminated by our senses. The thinking and intentions of God's people must be able to stand up under scrutiny, and not to be led astray by immoral desires. Can I get an amen? That's why we are to walk in his ways. We are to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. We are to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church right here. Let's look at this. In Philippians 4, 8 through 9, the Word of God says, finally, brethren, say that with me at home. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, look what he says, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? See, God gives us the key in his word to put off a lot of the things of the world, of the mind and the flesh, and put on, hallelujah, the things of God. Allow the Word of God to grow and mature in your life. Embrace the Word, hallelujah. Gravitate to the cross and walk in His ways. Praise God. Now, let's go to verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles, and the Lord and Savior, hallelujah, Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, the way to maintain wholesome thinking is to remember and to understand Scripture. That's right. You see, saints of God, the holy prophets had written about the coming of the Messiah and what he would command through his apostles. Most likely, this refers to the law as upheld by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount and propagated by the apostles. Praise God. Praise God. So, saints, the Holy Spirit unified the prophets and the apostles in an unchanging message of hope and truth. The prophets had written of the Messiah who would come to bring what? Judgment, and to restore the kingdom. You see, those words had come to pass. Praise God. The apostles spoken and written that Jesus, the Messiah, would return to bring judgment. Thus, believers should live expectantly, knowing that those words will also come to pass. Praise God. How many believe that? Oh, yes, Jesus is coming. He's coming to remove us out of the way, and he will ultimately bring judgment. Why? Because light and darkness do not mix. They clash. And the brightness of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ will overcome the darkness. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go back to verse 3 in 2 Peter chapter 3. Knowing this, first, that scoffers will what? Come in the last days, walking according to what? According to their own lusts. That's right. You see, saints of God, we along with the first century believers ought to be prepared for anything. Why? Because we have been warned what to watch for and how to live. Peter wrote that in the last days there will be scoffers. The last days began with Christ's resurrection and will continue until His return, His blessed return. And I can't wait till that happens. Can I get amen? And He will then set up His kingdom and judge all humanity. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, Jesus and the apostles warned that during that interim, including the time period we live in now, scoffers will laugh at the truth. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on. How many have laughed at you when you got saved? Yeah, right. I remember 32 years ago when I got saved. People were saying, yeah, right, right. He's just using that as a clutch. He's just using that as religion. Well, 32 years later, hallelujah, God has allowed me to let people see the proof in the pudding. Can I get an amen? That's right. That's right. This is what I am now, a child of the Most High God, used by God. Hallelujah. I ask God to empty me, that you would fill me, O God, that I will be used mightily by the kingdom of God, but I will be used mightily by the word and be used, hallelujah, and filled with the anointing of God. But let's look what 1 Timothy wrote, Paul wrote to 1 Timothy in 4, 1 and 2. Look at this. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Wow! Wow! This is what 2,000 years ago was prophesied what would happen. And right now, we're seeing it right now. Look what else it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. Look at this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Look at verse 4. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Turn away. Wow. Look what God is saying. Listen, there's an old saying, birds of a feather flock together. Listen, one thing that God did for me, and He did it immediately, is when I got saved, my goodness, He allowed me to be sanctified, set apart. All the friends that I thought I had and that cared for me, one by one, they left my life, and I thank God. God was doing the sanctification. He was cutting away those things from my life. He didn't allow me to hang around with those who continued to walk in sin. I praise God for that. God had another plan for me. God has another plan for you. God wants to use you in a mighty way. Some of you right now that are logged in, that are watching right now, some of you are still hanging out with those who chew and those who do and those who smoke and toke and do all these things, those who get drunk, those who have foul mouths. God is saying, separate yourself now from these folks. Can I get an amen? It's time to live holy before God. It's time to have a mind to be saved, the heart of repentance. It's time to live a pure life, a holy life unto God. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, once again, Peter was referring to false teachers who deny Jesus Christ and thereby deny His second coming. These false teachers will laugh at the truth of God's word and instead do every evil thing they desire. That's right. Peter called believers to remember the scriptures and to live a way to please God. That's right, my friends. That's right. But the false teachers will scoff at the scriptures and they will live to please themselves and their sinful desires, and ironically sense the very presence of these men who scoffed at prophecy was itself the fulfillment of prophecy. That's right. There's people in the church. I'm telling you, there's folks in the church. They'll turn this off if they hear this anywhere. Oh, yes. Why? Because they're comfortable. Some of them live on top of Cherry Hill. Some of them got money that you could never imagine having that kind of wealth. That's right. And they don't want all this to end. But I'm here to let you know, we are but pilgrims passing through. Did you know that Jesus, he wasn't a multi-billionaire. He didn't have a fleet of camels driving him around. Oh, no. The Bible says he didn't even have a place to hang his hat. And wherever he went walking with his disciples and apostles. He went town from town. That's right. And he was there for one thing, to sow into the hearts the kingdom of God. He would heal those who were oppressed by the devil. He would raise those up from the dead. He would do miracles that God will allow men and women at that time to see and to write down and to remember. And you and I are to remember what God has done for you and I. Can I get an amen? God has delivered us from the guttermost to the uttermost. God has raised us up from the dead. That's right. We were all night of the living dead. That's right. We were physically alive, but spiritually dead. But God came and quickened us. God came to anoint us. God came to call us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And now we are the children of the Most High God. Now we can walk in His ways. Now we have the power of God. Now we have the Word of God. Now we have the Spirit of God. My goodness, God has given the church everything that we need, hallelujah, to live a godly life in the times that we live in the last days. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Did you catch that, saints of God? That's right. The Word of God says these people will continue to disbelieve the Word of God. You see, saints of God, the false teachers scoffing, focused on Christ's second coming. Jesus had promised that He would come back, but many years had passed and nothing had happened. And I'm here to let you know that what Jesus said, what would happen in the last days, you could take it to the bank. Why? Because He will come back again. That's right. Listen, the power of the Holy Spirit in me is evidence and is a witness that we are to be alive looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Let's look at what God's Word says here in the book of Mark. But in those days, after that, look at that. The tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars of heaven will fall and the powers in heaven will be shaken. You know what God was referring to this? This is what I truly believe. This is Revelation chapter 8. It's talking about the wormwood prophecy. This is talking about a meteor that's coming. And if you go to NASA's website, there is a meteor that's coming. The size of the Rose Bowl. It's called Apophis. That's right. And it's supposed to come real close to our planet on April 13th, 2029. Write it down. That's right. NASA has this on their website. And NASA's pretty accurate. But there have been people like Tom Horn who has been given a dream that has seen that day coming. And my friends, according to his dream, he wrote a book called The Messenger. Apophis, which NASA has called this meteor, is going to hit the West Coast. And my friends, let me just say this. If that were the case, this meteor is traveling 28,000 miles per second. It's the size of the Rose Bowl, and if it does hit the West Coast, it'll be like 1,000 nuclear bombs going off. And so the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 8 that the wormwood prophecy that a meteor would come and fall on this earth. And I truly believe if that is what's going to take place, that will be the great tribulation. And God has not appointed the church unto wrath. Can I get amen? This is why God's going to come for us. Can I get amen? God's not going to allow us to have that thing fall on us and to be obliterated. God's going to save us. Can I get amen? Thank you, Jesus. This is why we need to get right with God or get left behind. Praise God Almighty. Let's go back to the Word of God right here. Look at this. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Praise God. You see, God has us in mind. He's got you and me, the church, the born-again church, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. He has us in mind. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. So, saints, the scoffers, they base their argument on the fact that everything has remained exactly the same since the world was first created. And many first century Christians believed that Jesus would come in their lifetime. And when Christians began to die without experiencing the Lord's return, praise God, some began to doubt. And right now, there's doubters now. And so, saints, these were prime targets for the false teachers who pointed out that perhaps it was all a lie and Christ was never going to return. You see, the false teachers argue that ever since creation, the world has continued in a natural order, a system of cause and effect. But, my friends, I'm here to let you know, they did not believe that God would intervene or allow anything out of the ordinary, such as miracles, to occur. Therefore, they scoffed at teaching. That's right, they scoffed. They're a bunch of scoffers. They scoffed at teachings about the second coming and the end of the world. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, we are to be alive. We are to be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's go back now to the Word of God. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. And the Word of God reads, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." Did you see that? That was all about Noah's day, my friends. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, God has a plan for you and I, my friends. That's right. You see, saints, what these scoffers were forgetting in their argument that the world had remained unchanged since creation. And that was God who made the heavens and the earth. The creation disproves their all things continue. That's right, it does. And their argument, because the creation of the earth was an imposed change on the formless void. Praise God. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's go back here real quick and look at Genesis 1, 1 through 2. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. There's the key. There was nothing before. And void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? And so the very reason the world was continuing on in a stable, predictable pattern was because God in His grace had created it that way. However, saints of God, this stability should not be taken for granted. Can I get an amen in the house? The false teachers deliberately forgot that God also had destroyed the evil world with a mighty flood. Oh, yes, He did. Let's look what it says right here in Genesis 7, 23 through 24. "So He," who? God. "He destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters," what? Look at this. "And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, saints of God, the next time the judgment comes, I'm talking the major judgment, it's not going to be done with water. It's going to be done with fire. But we got a couple of verses to break down. So let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for what? Fire, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. My goodness, my goodness. You see, saints of God, I'm here to let you know that there are many churches that won't talk about this. Oh no, we don't want to scare nobody. We want them to come back next week. I'm telling you, if you are a called out child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and whether you're a pastor, evangelist, a prophet, apostle, whatever the title you want to call yourself, you better proclaim these things and let people know that the next time God comes back, He's not going to judge the earth with water, but He's going to burn up the whole entire elements of this earth. Oh, that's right. Why? Because he's going to truly dissolve all the wicked things of this world, and He's going to rebuild and set up a new kingdom. Praise God. Praise God. A kingdom that you and I can live in heavenly bliss. Listen, the new mind will have no more sin. The new body will have a body that will live forever with God. I can't wait for that moment. This body right now in this flesh is failing me. It's failing you. That's right. Throughout the whole day, all kinds of things come into our mind. We covet. We have impure thoughts. We lie. We steal. All these things are conjured up in the mind. Praise God that we don't do those things, but those things are still in us, and we can do those things. My goodness, but God's going to free us from this body of flesh so that we will have no desire any longer to do the things that are against God's will and that are against His nature. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. And so, saints, as God destroyed the earth before, He also commanded that the heavens and the earth will be consumed by fire on the day of judgment. In Noah's day, the earth was judged by water, and the second coming, it will be judged by fire. Look, the Old Testament saints prophesied about that. Look at Isaiah 66, 15 through 16. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with His chariots like a whirlwind to render His anger with fury and His rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by His sword, the Lord will judge all flesh. And the slain of the Lord will be what? Many! Oh my gosh, look at what it says in Malachi 4:1. For behold, say this with me at home. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. My goodness. My goodness, my friends. Look what it says in Revelations 20 and 12. Look at this. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books. Look at this, verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. The death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Wow. My friends, this is a serious matter. This is an indictment from heaven. God is saying in His grace and His mercy that I came to do a work. And Jesus said, it is finished. But yet, there are millions that are still rejecting His love. They're rejecting His grace. They're saying, yeah, they're scoffing. They're laughing and they're mocking. Some of them are your family members. That's right. Some of you are friends. Some of them are co-workers. Some of them are acquaintances. There's people in your life that scoff at the things that you and I now are a part of. That's right. They may not laugh in your face, but there's an old song, they laugh in your face all the time. They want to take your place, them backstabbers. You remember that song. That's right. And there's people that are like that. Unfortunately, there's even some in the church. Wow. But my friends, this is the time to prepare, to get right before the living God. Can I get amen? We got to get right before God. That's right. Why? Because judgment has already been decided. Ungodly people will perish. It is only a matter of God's timing. Scholars have debated whether Peter was referring to a literal fiery destruction of the entire universe with new heavens and new earth to follow, or the fire of judgment. Second Peter is the only book in the whole entire New Testament, saints of God, that says the world will actually be destroyed by fire. That's right. Look what it says right here. Let's look at, let's go a little ahead and verse 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord, say that with me at home. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. But the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to live to be, look at this, ought you to be in holy conduct and what? Godliness. Saints, the passages cited above will refer primarily to the fire of God's judgment. If taken that way, the fire purifies the earth, burns up the Lord's enemies and the futile works of humanity, and makes the earth new for Christ's eternal reign. Peter's point was that destruction would come, and the godless, those who have not believed, will not escape. My goodness, my goodness. Let's go back. We got two more verses to finish up right here. Let's go back now in verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Praise God, praise God. Saints of God, you have to understand the mind of God and the heart of God. You see, Peter had made his point that Christ would certainly return and bring judgment. But the question still remained, why was the Lord delaying so long? Well, Peter had offered two reasons. First of all, the Lord does not count time as people do. He is above and outside of the sphere of time. Praise God. I hope you know there's no clocks in heaven. So when we're up there in his and just heavenly bliss, you're not going to be going, man, what time is it? It's time to go to bed. I'm tired. Oh, no, we're going to be in our brand new bodies. Come on. We're going to live forever with the King. We're going to worship 24/7. Man, I'm telling you, the things that God has prepared for you and I is going to be mind-blowing. That's right. It's going to be beyond comprehension. Oh, yes. Praise God. Look what else it says right here in the Word of God. Look at this. In 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should what? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. Wow. Wow, my friends. You see, saints of God? God sees all eternity, past and future. Indeed, to Him, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. Praise God. Look what King David wrote. Look at what he wrote. He wrote it perfectly. For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it has passed. Look at that. And like a watch in the night. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, saints of God, God may have seemed slow to these believers as they face persecution every day and long to be delivered, but God is not slow. He simply doesn't operate according to our timetable. Praise God. And so let's look at our last verse of scripture that we're going to break down, and it's found in verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. He's patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, say that with me at home, but that all should come to repentance. My goodness, my goodness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You see, my friends, the second reason for the Lord being slow about this promise to return was His patience. He does not want anyone to perish, so He's given more time for everyone to repent. He wants as many people as will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want your friends and family members to perish. He's given them an opportunity to repent. That is the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. That's God's everlasting love toward mankind. He didn't create us to destroy us, but it's our sin that takes us into hell. It is our sin that causes us to perish. It is our sin that is contrary to God's word and to God's ways, because He is light and sin is darkness. And we have inherited the sinful nature from Satan himself, who connived, who cheated, who deceived Eve in the garden when she took the bite of the apple. And as soon as she bit it and gave it to Adam, they both fell short of the glory of God, and sin entered into the world. And this is why every man and woman that comes into this world comes with that sin nature. But Jesus said, I have come to set the captive free. I have come to deliver those who I'm calling out of darkness into His marvelous light. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Can I get an amen? This is the day of reckoning for you. Some of you just turned on right now this telecast, this live stream, and God is speaking to you. Maybe you've never surrendered before, but God is saying, give your heart to me now. It's going to be too late if you reject me, because when I return, it's going to be over. It'll be a curtain call. God's going to close the door like He closed the door on the ark, and no one will be able to get in anymore. Oh, my friends, I believe the Spirit of God is crying out. It's crying out. Look what it says in the Word of God right up here in Acts 3, 18 through 20. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all His prophets, that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? My goodness, my goodness. You see, my friends, God is not slow at all. I hope you know that. Rather, according to His timetable, He's being exceedingly patient, giving people time to turn to Him. Love is the reason that He delays the destruction of the world. My friends, I'm here to ask this question. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you looking for His soon return? Because soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. Oh, that's right. He's going to appear in the clouds, and He's going to whisk us away. We're going to be caught up in the clouds to be with Him. And for those of you who do not believe that, and for those who will not teach that in your church, refute then what is written, because it's found in the Word of God. Let's go there right now. Let's look at that. In 1 Thessalonians, look at that. 4:13 through 18, the Word of God says, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself, say that with me, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise God. My friends, those are words of comfort. You should not be terrified. You don't want to live in this body of flesh forever, because it won't live forever. There's a timetable to our flesh. Some of us go earlier than others. Some of us will maybe be given 80 years or 90 years. I don't know that. You don't know that. But God does. But the one thing that is certain, the Bible says it is appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready? You see, I want this body of flesh to be changed to be like His. And God promises that. Let's look at what the Word of God says right here. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow, my friends. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the King? Are you ready to have an appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ to see Him face to face? Because God promised us that He will give us a body like His and we will live forever. That's right. We will be in heaven with Him while He pours out the wrath on this earth, while He has to judge the wicked. My friends, you're either right with God or left behind. This is not a political slogan at all. Right with God meaning repentant heart, washed in His blood, filled with His Spirit of promise. Left behind means a life that has rejected the grace, that has rejected the Lord, that wants to live his life the way he or she wants to without Christ. My friends, if that's you on that left side, don't let this happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week. Or he could even come.
Are you ready, my friends? Those of you right now that are watching this live stream, or maybe those who have been in church and his heart is a mile, 2 miles, 1,000 miles away from God. You know, someone said it best. What separates heaven and hell is but 18 inches. What? That's right. 18 inches. That's the distance from your heart to your mouth. The Bible says if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you. If you cry out in a heart of repentance, He will bless you. He will save you. 2,000 years ago, the key verse of scripture I'm going to show you was given to Peter the apostle, who ran from Jesus 3 times. But then he got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and boldness came upon him. And he preached his very first sermon and it went just like this. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Aren't you so blessed that God has made a way of escape, that you and I don't have to witness the destruction on this whole entire planet by fire? God will remove us by His grace, and then the fire will be poured out. The Bible says that the saints of God, the bride of Christ, those who are truly saved, were not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. And so you may be listening right now to this message. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, allow us right now to pray for you. Those watching at home, those watching on their phones, on YouTube, on their television sets, those of you right now who have the faith to believe, pray with me and lead others right now that are probably in the valley of decision. If that's you and you want to give your heart to Christ, bow your heart and your head with me and repeat this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Somebody give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. Somebody just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone just got saved. And if that's you, man, reach out to us. Right down below, you see our website. Log on. You can get our phone number, our email. We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray with you. We want to talk with you. We want to lead you to the right church that'll preach and teach the unadulterated Word of God. My friends, I am so mighty thankful, so thankful for each and every one of you that tunes in every Wednesday night. And let me just say this. I also want to give a great big shout out to all those who continue to bless our ministry. That's right. Many of you send in your tithes and offerings to continue the work of the ministry here at Amazing Grace. And we're mighty thankful. Right down below is our website. Log on. This is how you donate to us. And if you never donated it, guess what? Donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, it's time to sign off. It's time to say goodnight. And I hope you enjoyed this Bible study. I hope your faith was built up. We pray that you were edified. And I'm looking forward to this Sunday. This Sunday's 10:30 live in-person service. We're going to have evangelist Donald Perkins coming and bringing a end time message. I cannot wait. I hope all of you can make it out. Bring a friend, tell a friend. Let's pack the place out. We're going to have beautiful worship from the worship team of Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And we're all excited that God's going to pour out His Spirit this Sunday morning. And so, my friends, it's time to say goodnight. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace family, allow me to send the benediction so that we can be dismissed this evening. And the Word of God says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So we love you. God bless you, and we'll see you at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Benita, California, this Sunday morning, live in person at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship in beautiful Benita, California. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.